From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Learn by Example, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for today is found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, Praying Always. What multitudes of prayers have we put up from the first moment when we learned to pray? Our first prayer was a prayer for ourselves. We asked that God would have mercy upon us and blot out our sin. He heard us. But when he had blotted out our sins like a cloud, then we had more prayers for ourselves. We have had to pray for sanctifying grace, for constraining and restraining grace. We have been led to crave for a fresh assurance of faith, for the comfortable application of the promise, for deliverance in the hour of temptation, for help in the time of duty, and for succor in the day of trial. We have been compelled to go to God for our souls, as constant beggars asking for everything. Bear witness, children of God, you have never been able to get anything for your souls elsewhere. All the bread your soul has eaten has come down from heaven, and all the water of which it is drunk has flowed from the living rock, Christ Jesus the Lord. Your soul has never grown rich in itself. It has always been a pensioner upon the daily bounty of God, and hence your prayers have ascended to heaven for a range of spiritual mercies all but infinite. Your wants were innumerable, and therefore the supplies have been infinitely great, and your prayers have been as varied as the mercies have been countless. Then have you not cause to say, I love the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication? For as your prayers have been many, so also have been God's answers to them. He has heard you in the day of trouble, has strengthened you, and helped you, even when you dishonored him by trembling and doubting at the mercy seat. Remember this, and let it fill your heart with gratitude to God, who has thus graciously heard your poor weak prayers. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Thank you.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is expounding verses 10 through 43 of chapter 9, a passage which highlights the ministries of three great disciples, Ananias, Barnabas, and Simon Peter. Dr. Cairns has been drawing important spiritual lessons from the character and actions of each man. Ananias was the disciple whom the Lord commanded to seek out the newly converted Saul of Tarsus and to present to him Christ's commission as an apostle. The second disciple in the passage is Barnabas, who introduced Saul to the believers in Jerusalem, an evidence of his heart for anyone who preached Christ. Best known of these three men is Peter,
the disciple who had denied Christ, but who became the leader of the apostles. It was through his evangelistic ministry that the early church saw great expansion. A man with a large vision for souls, Peter had power with God because he was a man of prayer. Now, with the concluding portion of the message entitled Learn by Example, here is Dr. Cairns.
My friend, we come back to this. Whatever you're going to be for God, you'll have to be on your knees. And if you're not anything on your knees, you'll not be anything anywhere else for God. Notice his ministry. He was the servant of the churches, obviously. Why did he leave Jerusalem? Why did he quit the scene of his labors, his apostolic calling? Why did this greatest of the apostles at that time get on the stretch and start as an itinerant evangelist, tramping up and down dusty roads for long hours in the heat of the day? Why did he do it? I think obviously he wanted to get to every group where the Christians were, for he was interested surely in the doctrine they were preaching. The doctrinal purity of the church was something he held dear. You'll find that very clear when you read his epistles. The very basic doctrines, he wanted them to be pure. Second, he must have been interested in the discipline of the church. They'd already had problems in Jerusalem in the very early days about this. And I have no doubt that Peter wanted to make sure not only were they doctrinally correct, but they were in discipline correct. And thirdly, I have no doubt he went because he desired that they would have development. That's why he went on his evangelistic labors. And I think also he must have desired their unity, their devotion to their common Lord and to each other in the Lord. Now when he got there, he did two notable miracles. Verse 35 and verse 42 will give you the result of those miracles. The result of the healing of Aeneas, verse 35, all at Lydda and Sharon who saw him turned to the Lord. People were sealed. Then verse 42, we read when the raising of Dorcas from the dead was known throughout all Joppa, many believed in the Lord. I want you to notice this about the miracles of the early church. They were the means of evangelism. The modern Pentecostal notion has absolutely no ground in the New Testament. The circus atmosphere has no ground in the New Testament. The showmanship has no ground in the New Testament. I want you to notice very clearly here that these miracles, they were miracles indeed. And they were not to boost the ego of the preacher. Furthermore, they were indisputable miracles. They were miracles that nobody could possibly gainsay. A man paralyzed for 8 years immediately walks. And I want to tell you something. I have seen pictures of some of these paralytics supposedly healed in Pentecostal and Neo-Pentecostal meetings, and you still see them with one spindly leg and the other leg normally developed. I want to tell you, when the Lord healed these people, he didn't leave them deformed. He healed them. And like any other job that God did, when he did it thoroughly. Now, these were indisputable miracles, but they were not merely to heal a man and merely to raise a man from the dead. In fact, if I could put it clearly enough, they were the, it sounds strange, but they were the lesser purposes in the miracles. The miracles we find, according to Hebrews chapter 2, were God's testimony to the preaching of these men. In other words, the miracle was the handmaid of the preaching. The miracle was only in order to give the preaching more widespread acceptance. And that's why we have the emphasis here on the great result of these miracles. Souls were saved and the church of Christ was expanded. Haven't time to go into the aspect this morning that these two miracles sum up the work of saving grace. Dorcas giving life in a dead soul is the work of regeneration. The healing of Aeneas would be the inward work that has obviously outward results. It speaks of the conversion, that power of God that stimulates every part of the outer man, enabling him to do the will of God, where palsied limbs are now empowered and enabled to please the Lord. These two miracles give you, I think, a total outlook on God's great work of grace. Now, on a practical level, do you ever ask yourself why the Lord raised Dorcas from the dead through Peter? Didn't Paul say for a Christian to depart to be with Christ is very far better? Wouldn't it have been better for Dorcas to be in heaven than to be down there in a persecuted church? Why then did the Lord raise her from the dead? I'll tell you why. It's exactly the same as what Paul said about himself in Philippians chapter 1. He said in verse 24 that he desired to depart, but it was more needful for the church that he remain. That's why the Lord brought Dorcas back. First as an evangelistic tool, and second for the good of the church. Do you see what it says about her in verse 36? She was a woman full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. The church of Christ can ill afford to lose people like that. And then notice what it says. I always like to read that 39th verse, as the widows stood by Peter weeping. Notice what they did. Showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. It's a wonderful thing when the fruits of a person's life testify when they're dead. Wonder if we were standing around your coffin today. I wonder if we were watching your dead body today. I wonder, could your family, could your friends, let's go beyond that, could the widows, the poor, the widows in those days were in a terrible economic plight. Could the poorest of the poor, could the poor sinners say before God, there are the fruits of that man's labor. There are the fruits of that woman's service. There are the garments which this Dorcas has made. Not much wonder then God brought her back to the church. My friend, there are few Christians who are full of good works. Man, I've met Christians full of bitterness. I've met Christians full of themselves. I've met Christians and they're full of pride. I've met Christians and they're full of the world. I've met Christians full of many things, but I want to tell you, I have met precious few Christians. Thank God I've met some. And so have you. But you can put your finger on practically every one of them, because they're so few and far between these days. Christians who are full of good works. Good works have almost become a dirty term in Protestantism. And that ought not to be. I think that the devil has put one over on us. We are so strong in asserting that we are not saved by good works, but we leave out the good works altogether. I want to tell you, summarizing what James said, you're not saved by good works, but you'll not be saved without them. You'll not be saved without them. Now, the works have no saving merit. But I tell you, when the merit of Jesus Christ is applied to a man, and when the blood of Christ washes a man, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within a man, don't try to tell me that that man will not have good works. It's impossible. Impossible. Can you have what the Scripture calls the good spirit of God within a man without good works in that man's life? Can you have a man who is really born of the Holy Spirit with the divine nature within him, and all he brings forth are the works of the flesh? I don't believe that for a minute. I'm telling you, if you have no good works, then you have never known the Savior. But it's possible to be saved and not be full of good works. Now, we ought to be full of them, but so often God's people, oh, they do good things. There's the evidence of Christ in their lives. There are the marks of grace about them. But yet, we persist in so much of the flesh, so much of the old nature, and we just produce the fruit of Adam instead of the fruit of the Spirit. Full of good works. May God indeed make us people like that. And then finally, you'll notice the means of Peter's power. Coming back to the point that I was stressing earlier, verse 40, he prayed. Now when the Lord Jesus entered in to the room in Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter, he did what Peter here did. He put everybody out. But then we read he simply said, Talitha kumi, get up and walk. Mead, I say unto thee, arise. But here we read, Peter kneeled down and prayed. The power that Jesus Christ had, he had to an unlimited degree. The power which Jesus Christ had, he had by virtue first of his own eternal deity, and by the illimitable flow of the Spirit to him. But the power that Peter had, he only had by virtue of communion with God. And Peter did not want to be a Samson. He had done miracles before. But he didn't want to be like Samson and say, I'll go in the strength of my past experience, knowing not that the power had departed from him. Rather, let this be a lesson to this preacher and to every preacher and every Christian worker. Before he set about God's work, he kneeled down to obtain God's power. You may have had great power to do great things for God yesterday. Today, my friend, pray it through. Pray it through. He kneeled down and prayed. The means of victory, every time, every day, on every occasion, the means of victory for the child of God is in the presence of God, obtaining God's power through faithful, believing prayer. May the Lord indeed stamp the example of these three outstanding servants of Christ upon our hearts. May he find in us, each one, the attributes of an Ananias, a man whose communion led to a commission. May he find in us the attributes of a Barnabas, a man whose friendship led Paul into fellowship and to become the greatest of all the apostles. You never know when you stretch out a hand to help a young Christian. You never know who you're helping. I never forget what Willie Mullen back home said during his frequent times of giving his testimony when he was saved as a young man, a tramp, an alcoholic, not only an alcoholic, but a wine victim. And there's a big difference. In tatters and rags, when he got saved, planning a crime one day in the open countryside, went home and cleaned out his house, went the next Sabbath day to Newton Arch Baptist Church in County Down in Northern Ireland. Rotten, as far as the world would look at him, with hardly a shoe in his foot, and his clothes ripped and torn and dirty. Not a penny piece to buy anything else. Said he'd never forget that a young woman sat in the same seat, immaculately dressed, and where others would move along so as not to rub shoulders with a dirty tramp, she moved right up the seat. She sat shoulder to shoulder, and since he had no Bible, when the preacher called for the scripture reading, she opened her Bible, she put it across, and she shared it with him. Just the hand of friendship. He said, it's not much wonder that that young girl became one of the best missionaries Northern Ireland ever sent to Brazil. And she's there to this day. When you stretch out Barnabas's hand, You don't know what the end is going to be. She didn't know that she was helping in his first stumbling steps. The man whom I believe was the best Baptist preacher of his generation. May the Lord find in us the attributes of a Peter, always evangelizing, that the work of Christ may be always expanding.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.